Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and you've been listening to a lot of programs of raising money, trying to build the support here and fix our little problem. And compared to some other ministries, it is small, but it's significant to us. And today we're just going to be taking your phone calls. We've got the callers lined up. And joining me today, two of my favorite people, Mylon Yurkovich, actually saved my life, helped me get my life back, and Chris Williams, who's never done anything for me, but we love him anyway.
Hey, I'm here for you if you need me.
Okay, good. I know that. And we'll be calling on you soon, I'm sure. But guys, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
I want to do something. Since we haven't taken calls for help all week, let's go to a phone call. Let's find somebody to talk to.
Yeah, we have Gina.
Let's go to Gina. Gina, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can. Thanks for joining us.
Listen, thank you. I've been a fan way back in the Menrith Meyer days, so I've been here for a while.
Good.
We have three daughters. Our youngest is 18 now, at a freshman in high school. We befriended a girl in her class that did not have a good home life, and we took her in, let her stay with us some. Took her to church, teach her about Jesus, let her see a godly husband and father role model. She, in turn, turned that situation into a homosexual relationship with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted for 7 months. Mm. Then we found out. So then we pull our daughter from public school, put her in private, away from that situation, make all the changes that we feel that we can make. So then we're good until now. My daughter tells us yesterday that she, again, is having a homosexual relationship with a girl that is in her dance company. And come to find out, the entire dance studio has been the petri dish of evilness for feeding her soul and seducing her into this lifestyle. Hmm. And so she is 18. She is a freshman in college. So we feel like we have a little bit of a different ball game as to should we make her quit that job. She is now a dance teacher at this studio, but it appears that the dance owner of the studio has prayed with her and over her and has told her that it is not a choice, but we are born this way, things that is completely against our moral beliefs here in this home. But there are homosexual girls there, and it appears to just be a breeding ground. So mm-hmm. at the age of 18,
okay.
is it too pushy to ask her or to make her quit that job? We're afraid that she'll go move in with these people, and then she won't have any guidance
yeah.
in a godly way.
Right. Does she live with you or not?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just say this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Chris and Mylon. When a child lives with you, you do have the right to provide some guidance here. But there is a term that I would be using with her, and that is fluid sexuality. And I didn't come up with this. Actually, it came out of folks who, one day they were sleeping with somebody and had a relationship with somebody of the same sex, and then they ended up married in a heterosexual marriage, and so
yeah,
they came up with this.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so they came. So, I think I would, as in my conversations, I would just be reinforcing what came out of some other folks who are mm-hmm. in homosexual relationships, and that's going to be your hope, maybe, but we'll help you in the other okay. realm also.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Mylon Yurkovich, Chris Williams, and a broken-hearted mom. And, it's so unfortunate. But Mylon, Chris, what do you guys think? What do you have for her?
Well, I have two things, two thoughts. First of all, Gina, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. This is very disconcerting, and it would break your heart. And I understand why, and I understand your love and devotion to the Lord and honor and respect His word. This would be disconcerting. I have four adult kids, and I've grown up young men and women now. So I have first thought is that the number one need that your daughter has is to when you talk about representing the Lord, it would be for her to understand that this is not how God made us, per se.
We've had that conversation in depth.
Well, let me finish. But that these are choices that are made because of impressions and influences. But no matter what we feel, no matter what our propensities are, we're supposed to live our lives in accordance with God's will. So in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? For fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, revilers, swindlers shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were cleansed." So all of us come from, and this was written 2,000 years ago, so all these different propensities are common to the human race, and yet what we're
Nothing's
new, and what we're told to do is we're told to yield. Now, I don't have propensities in the way your daughter might, but I might have others in that list, and I'm told to say no to them for the sake of loving God, and that He has my best interest at heart. And so I just want to say that the counter to it is that all of us have propensities. All of us must bend our knee at the cross. Mm-hmm. And that's a choice that she has as an adult, and that's part of her adult journey. Am I going to bend my knee to Jesus? Chris, what do you think?
Well, the thing that I hear in that, Gina, too, is that your daughter knows that you disapprove. She's very crystal clear that this is not God's will. She's feeling the rejection. And sexual imprinting oftentimes happens in the void of relational connection.
Yep.
And especially developmentally, in our highly sexualized culture, is that connection gets sexualized very quickly. Mm-hmm. And when it does, it hits in this thing called the arousal template.
Right.
And the arousal template then is this thing deep, deep, deep inside of our brain that develops attraction. And that, whether it be, you know, genetic or developed, it really doesn't matter. It can be both and. I say all of that to say that being able to connect to your daughter, to empathize with her, to see her, to hear her, to understand her. You do not have to agree with her to understand
her.
Yeah. And so continue. And so you can disapprove that you could desire her to quit this job. I'm not sure that will have that much of an effect whatsoever. In fact, I think it may backfire.
could be, yeah, adverse effect.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing is that when Paul tells us that love is patient, it is to be with a person over a long period of time. Again, it is not in a matter of agreement. It's not a matter of co-signing.
Endorsing.
Yeah. So look.
Well, we told her our belief system is still our belief system.
Yeah.
And because you choose something else, will not change that, nor will you know, we hope that yours changes to ours because we feel like ours is based from the Word.
Yes.
Ours is not changing because yours did.
Yes, absolutely. And in that connection, if I could give a couple, just a couple pointers in that, look for ways in which the beliefs match up. You know, look for those common places where your beliefs and her beliefs align. But also, stay involved in her life. Stay involved in those places where she's hurting, where she is confused. I mean, the message that she's going to get from the culture is obvious, and that is that her lifestyle is okay, it's acceptable, there's nothing wrong with it. But connection is always stronger than information.
Yep. And and so I think all of us would agree that just having a strategy of you can't work at that place is probably going to cause a disconnection between the two of you versus you coming alongside and trying to connect with her, love her, let her know that you don't approve, but you're not rejecting. Those are the kind of things that, you know, have an impact. But again, as I said in the beginning, this concept of the fluidity of sexuality that so many folks have been talking about, it's not something that we came up with. They did. So let's use it to say, hey, if you could flow one way, you can flow back the other. And I would be talking about that and letting that be a source of conversation, just as if that was a reality. And I would be praying that one day she would wake up and say, you know what? I think I might have been influenced by somebody in the home that took me down a path I didn't want to go. I'm really glad you called.
Can I say two more things, Steve?
Yes, you may.
Her daughter is at the peak of impulsivity at 18 years old. Her brain is going through an amazing metamorphosis of moving from child to adolescent to adult. And in that, there's an instability and impulsivity that causes a person to respond to the latest thing they just saw. And so the high levels of impulsivity. And I think that's just important to keep in mind. That part of growing out of this is what will happen when she's 24, 25 years old.
And really important that you and your husband get some help so that you're not walking around feeling guilty, shameful about this, because that'll impact every interaction you have
with her. Steve, do you think she could be angry at her parents, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, no question about it. It's part
of
the whole
explore, right?
Picture, right? All right, I'm really glad you called, and I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I hope that's going to be a blessing to you, and maybe even a blessing to your daughter. All right, guys, who's our next caller?
Hey, we have Miss C in Fort Hood, Texas, listening on NRB.
Hi there, how you doing? Well, there you are.
Let me try that again. Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Missy, are you there?
Yes.
What can we do for you today?
Yes. I was calling, kind of struggling with a situation. Dated for like over 10 years. And within the 10 years, the first five, we lived across the street from each other. And just to kind of see how he would be as an adult. I'm 50 years old. And just to see, you know, if he was stable enough, you know, so far as responsible to handle household, you know, who he was as a person, get to know, you know, the person. However, he turned out to be somebody totally different than what I thought, but it's not the problem because we all go through some in life with drug addiction he had, and also became very needy, needing assistance, you know, being manipulative, you know, lying about finances, how he was living, even also true feelings. I found out later through a conversation, which was, I guess, spoken over voice. what do you call it, a speakerphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think we kind of get it. You found out what? Mm-hmm. What did you find out?
That he was being sexual with neighbor's daughter.
Okay.
For money.
All right.
And which was a teen, and we're older adults.
So what's the question for us?
I guess I had already let him go and trying to move on, and he's still trying to keep contact, finding ways to, you know, move back in, and also saying I'm his wife and all his other stuff, mm-hmm. that, which is, it's like he's not.
Okay, what's the question for us? What's the question
for us? Stable. For me, I guess just trying to move on, how to stop the connection, move on with my life, because it's been over with, but he still tries to find little ways to get in, no matter what.
Right.
Constantly ringing the phone. It's almost like stalking.
So you're going to have to change your phone number.
Okay.
And you're going to have to change your email address.
Right. But you're gonna have
to see his number come up and not pick it up.
Right.
And you may have to get a restraining order. But let's hear from Mylan and Chris about what they're thinking.
Yeah, Missy, the thing is, this is an incredibly dangerous person. I mean, I just had, you know, drug addicted, lying, sexual infidelity. He's having sex with a teenager. I mean, this person is way off the rails. You have no business being in contact with him whatsoever. So just to reiterate what Steve was telling you is that whatever it takes, you change your number, change your email, mm-hmm. and you record. You write down, or if you have an electronic recording of each contact he tries to make, you go to law enforcement, you get a restraining order, and you let him know crystal clearly, I want the fear of God in him from you. To know that in no uncertain terms is this okay. And by the way, you have information that, you know, he doesn't want to mess with.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think, Mylan? Okay.
Well, have you ever been tough with anybody?
Yes, I had to do it with him because we had allowed him to stay here to try to see. But I guess he thought my life has not changed for the Lord. Well, yes, and I don't sleep around. I'm not a sleep around woman at all. And we would give him the couch downstairs, but me and my daughter had the room upstairs because he was on a 3-month to 6-month trial base to get money
saved to
get in a new apartment.
So
but
let
he
me
never
ask,
moved out.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Did you have sex with him?
No, never.
I just wanted to know. See, so it's kind of like once you let the camel get his nose inside the tent, you know, the whole camel comes in, you know, and that's what I've heard said by those that have camels. But the thing that I really want you to get is you've let him in too early. When I said, have you ever learned how to say no or do difficult things? There was no way you should have let him even come in the house in the first place. He is assuming things. Yeah. He has taken your kind overtures to mean that we're married, that you are somehow now bonded to him. Mm-hmm. And you have to do, I would say I made a big mistake. I did the wrong thing. I realize I should have never given you that. Don't ever call me again. And then if he violates that, you do precisely what Chris just said. And then what Steve said,
you change
all your numbers.
That's what happened.
But that's what I asked you. I said, have you ever been tough with anybody?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have to be tough here, and you're going to have to do a little grieving over, you know, the loss of any potential there. But I'm telling you, once you do that grieving, you get on with it, you're going to be so grateful. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back because nice people like you sometimes forget to be the decider or the defender of your value or the developer of the good things in your life. You get controlled by somebody else. I think you're going to like this a lot.
I think that's a perfect book for her.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, next caller. Who we got?
Next caller, we have Mary in Allentown, Pennsylvania, listening online.
Mary. Hi there.
Hello.
How you doing? Hi.
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
We're doing okay. I mean, I've got a little bit of anxiety being with Chris and Milam. Other than that, I'm fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Gosh, this is a difficult thing. Whenever I was 19 years old, which was about 45 years ago, I had met a guy, and We had non-consensual sex on my part. I found out when I got pregnant, I found out when my son was 6 months old that the guy had lied to me about his name and marital status, children, just many different things. And I never told him about my son. Well, I'm going back now. About 2 weeks later, after I was with this guy, I had a friend that I had known just at the time, did not keep in touch with her, but she had asked me to go to her college to be, she wanted to go up and see her boyfriend. And I said, sure, I would go. So we went up and we spent the night. And whenever we got there, she left with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend had a friend who was there in this apartment with me. Mm-hmm. And like a very nice guy, you know, he seemed very nice. Well,
all right, hold on a second. We got to go to a break. We'll try to get to this and your question right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE for help.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. I have to read, you know, we do all sorts of social media here. Listen to this. Ethel said, I've supported New Life for a while now, and I listen to your daily on 101.5 FM, 2 to 3. I love the advice you give each caller, and since I've been listening for so long, I find myself trying to guess which book you will send to the callers. Well, and then she goes, lots of life. I love that there are numerous resources that you provide, and I try to direct my own family and friends to call you or go to your website, however I can be of help. I also find myself in a certain crisis or event thinking, what would Steve and the crew say? I just love New Life, and I hope you are here for years to come. Well, thank you for that, Ethel. And please, you know, you guys, if you haven't seen us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram, go there and make a comment like this. It really is an encouragement to us, and tell others about the program. I'm glad that Mary has called. She had non-consensual sex with a man, and then she found herself with a stranger alone when her friend leaves with her boyfriend. Now, Mary, what happened after that?
Well, as I said, he seemed like a very nice guy. We did become passionate, but when I asked him to stop, he did. So I didn't think that there was any reason why he might possibly be my son's father.
Mm-hmm.
So It was, probably 4 years ago, my son came to me, and I always told him that I would help him find his father if he wanted me to. And he came to me and asked me to help him, and which I did. I wrote to him and told him everything, which was very, very difficult to do. It was a hard letter to write. Well, he did talk, and at first he told me that he was willing to meet with us. And then later he wrote a letter and said no, that he was not, and that he didn't want anything to do with either one of us. He didn't believe me. He didn't
okay,
know
now
who
we've,
I
was. we've got to get to the question pretty quick. So tell us where this all ends up, okay?
Okay. So the second guy I have no relationship with, never did since then. My son's a very good father and husband. He has four boys, and that's why he wanted to get in touch. He wanted medical information for them.
Plus, what's the question for us? What can we do for you?
Well, I will be seeing him shortly, and I'll have time to talk to him. Should I tell him about the second guy? Since, he may possibly... I do not know anything. I don't even remember the person's name that I went with.
Mm-hmm. But so, you know date-wise that it isn't his father.
I really do not know, to tell you the truth. I
Are
really
you serious?
Do not know.
How long after? Yeah. What was the length of 2 weeks? Okay. All right. Well, Chris, Milan, what do you guys think?
Well, have you had DNA tests, or is there any links? Do we know one way or the other?
No, I had asked the first guy for a paternity test for DNA, and he agreed, and then he would not agree whenever it came down to it. The second guy, I do not know even where he is or his name. I don't know anything about him.
But you started to be sexual with the second guy and then stopped.
Yes.
Well, but the story you're telling us is that you did have sex with him because you're imagining he could be the father.
Yes.
Okay. So
I didn't think it went that far, but he had asked my friend after that if he could possibly be the father. And I thought there's no way because
So there is a question in your mind and at some level a naivety as to whether we fully had a sexual encounter, but your assumption is in your mind, yeah, I think we probably did. So I'm confused which one of these guys might be the dad. So my answer to you would be to tell your son, I don't know who your father is. There's a possibility it could be two guys. And I would tell him that. And I have no idea how to get hold of the second guy. Your son is very interested. He has a lot at stake here. And I would be as sincere with him to help him find his answer. And I think that would be my answer. And
Mylan, it's not for good radio to completely agree, but I completely agree. This is a very important subject and information. If there was a husband who cheated on his wife, we tell them, you need to tell her what's happening in her life.
Right.
It is for her benefit. And so there may be that hesitancy and even embarrassment or shame that goes along with it. But, Mary, I do believe that you do need to tell him the truth here.
All right, I'm glad that you called. I hope that that's helpful to you. And I would hope that he would develop a relationship with one of the guys and somebody would be willing to do a DNA test, this one that you're still in contact with. I just hope maybe he could persuade him to get that test if he comes to a
Steve,
place where he wants to meet him.
I think that's a very good idea, that the son would perhaps pursue a relationship with that man to investigate.
Yes.
Great,
I agree too.
Great point, Steve.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send Take Your Life Back to you. It's the new book. Oh, I'm excited about this. And we've got a workshop coming up October the 27th. But just a few days from now, October the 1st, is our first Life Recovery Conference. And oh, would we love for you to come. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's in Southern California at this amazing church, Mariners Church. Kenton B. Shore, such an amazing pastor there. and Jack West is their recovery pastor. My wife's going to be speaking at this conference. And Chris Williams is going to be speaking at this conference. It's going to be great. And I hope and pray that if you're interested in recovery, Christian recovery, the foundation of it, that you'll come. We'll be back after this.
We came here, it's our last resort. We're going to go through counseling, they're going to find her problems, and I'm fine.
The Marriage Solution Weekend is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd.
Obviously, I'm not fine.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love? And how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The biggest thing I got out of this is that I got things to work on, too.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Artiburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Got a lot of great things coming up, and I hope you'll join us. You know, we have, if you're not aware, we have Every Man's Battle coming up. Our Take Your Life Back, October the 21st is the correct date for that. Our Marriage Solution Weekend, October 21st. The next Every Man's Battle is October the 7th. And then Women in the Battle is coming along on November the 11th. Fantastic, fantastic way to change your life. There's never been this much help in so short a length of time. I hope and pray if you need some help, you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't let money be the problem. There are scholarships available. And if you heard the programs earlier in the week, well, you know that we really do need your support. And if you can do that, maybe you can provide a scholarship to someone. You just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, guys, who is our next caller?
Let's go with Dia, listening in Portland, Oregon, who listens on podcast.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing? How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Really, really doing well. How could we help you today?
I just have a quick question. How do I wrap my head around being with the same person for the rest of my life, like being, I guess, just married?
Okay, how old are you?
23.
What's the longest relationship you've ever had, longest length of time you've been with one person?
Never.
Never? Okay.
Yeah.
And are you dating someone now and you're thinking about marriage, or you're not dating because you can't imagine a lifetime commitment?
I'm not dating because I can't imagine a lifetime commitment, I guess.
All right. Okay. And so I'm going to turn it over to Mylan and Chris. But what do you think is the source? You know, you see people all around you making commitments, having long-term relationships. What do you think is the reason that you're having a hard time doing that?
I think I'm just an avoider, I guess.
Okay.
Mylan's book, and I guess I just avoid relationships.
Okay. Mylon, what do you do? What does an avoider do who finally feels lonely and wonders, hey, will I ever be able to have a long-term relationship?
Well, if you've never bonded with anyone, if you've never experienced closeness and intimacy that comes through emotional, spiritual, and physical, and I don't mean sexual necessarily, just physical touch and the intimacy that can come along with that, it could be very hard to imagine that I could ever be with just one woman, especially at 23 years old. And so to imagine that is very difficult. And I could I could appreciate that, especially if, even though you haven't dated a lot, if in your mind you found yourself attracted to a lot of women, would that be the case, by the way?
Yeah, I guess I'm attracted to some girls, but I just don't go along. I just don't ask them on dates, or I just don't see myself with them.
Do you have a hard time making decisions?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel pretty confident.
Your hesitancy here is interesting. It's like I can't ask him out on a date because it's like Steve said, you know, am I thinking that this could lead to, you know, a life commitment, and I don't want to narrow my choices, so I can't ask her out. I mean, I'm just wondering how severe your thinking is here on this.
Well, I guess that's how I think, you know. I like this girl, but maybe I like this girl too, so I don't want to ask either of them out.
So let me put it another way. Are you a perfectionist?
I guess I grew up with a perfectionist parent.
Mm-hmm. How anxious are you as just about life? I'm anxious to make decisions. It's hard for me. I procrastinate. I put stuff off. I have a very difficult time finalizing directions. Is that true in other areas of your life, or is it only with women?
I think it's only with women.
Hmm. And how do you feel about your mom?
She's great.
Good. That's a great piece of news. But
yeah.
I think the issue is less wrapping your head around the idea of spending your life with one woman. It's more, can I lower my requirements to go out on a date? I'll go out on a date and now I've picked you for the rest of my life. It's just,
yeah,
it's, there's where I would do my work.
Well, on having a very nice
casual relationship,
longer term,
yep,
friendship relationship with a woman, that's the goal, not to be able to commit. You know what, you've got to figure this out in the next 30 years or so. So you got a little bit of time, okay?
I have some time.
Yeah. So go for the relationship. Now, the first relationship you have, it may be a disaster because people of the opposite sex, no matter which sex you have, they're strange, okay? So don't judge everything based on that first experience. Have some relationships with some people longer term.
Indeed, I have a concern as well because people with that type of thinking, the fear of missing out, the FOMO, or they hoard relationships because they don't court.
Yeah.
And hoarding is really, really damaging and dangerous to relationships because it's counterintuitive and it goes against intimacy, which is getting to know a person over a long period of time. I would encourage you to figure out what are the fears that exist inside of you. What are you afraid that people are going to discover about you? Once we resolve that we're a human being, that we have flaws, that we have things, that we have weirdness and we have sin propensities, and we have a grace process to work through those, we're not afraid for other people to see them and recognize them and as well as apply them to other people. Because what I believe is happening is you are acting in. You are holding judgment against yourself, and you're projecting that over a long-term relationship.
Mm.
And so I would ask you to look at that, resolve that, maybe get into some counseling and help kind of discover those deeper fears you have about relationships.
Yep. All right.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and then also Is This the One? I think it's going to help. All right.
There are a lot of people, Steve and Chris, who are stuck for their whole lives because they feel like the decision is too severe. They just can't go buy the car and then sell it. Or go buy that furniture and go, I don't like it. I'll put it on Craigslist. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, they're living in a perpetual projection of the future and never living the life present. At the end of their nose.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I tell you. And what
there's
a
book title, Life at the End of Your Nose.
I like that. I need to hold on to that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of has a nasal sound to it. All right, let's go to our next caller.
We're going to go with Jim in St. Louis, Missouri, also listening on podcast.
All right, Jen, how you doing? Jen, how you doing?
Jim.
Okay, Jim, how you doing?
Yes, thank you guys for taking my call. I have a 12-year-old son, and I just found out last night that he's been accessing porn online. And it is really shaking me to my core because I can't imagine the struggles that he's going to have now. He's a great kid.
Yeah. Tell me what you know about his frequency and all of that. How much of a problem is it?
He said that it started about a month ago, and I don't know the details about the frequency of it. I just know that he has looked at pictures and videos.
Okay. All right. So he's not destined for horrific things if you guys can work together. The worst thing you can do is attach shame to this versus connecting with him over a common struggle. Okay? Mm-hmm. Did you have the father-son weekend ever with him? Did you ever do anything like that?
No, not yet.
Well, okay, so now is the time to do that. I used it with my son. You can use Every Young Man's Battle or Preparing Your Son for Every Young Man's Battle, either one. And now's the time where you're going to be the go-to guy for temptation, if there's any temptation, any opportunity. Chris, you want to weigh on this for a break, and then we'll come back?
Yeah, really quickly, Jim. You have locks on your door to keep danger out. Every electronic that he has access to needs a lock. It needs some sort of programming device to block illicit websites. It needs frequently checked. It needs to be updated all the time. There is no stone unturned when it comes to access here, because we're getting hit with a tsunami of pornographic access, and to ask a 12-year-old to use his good judgment is completely unrealistic. No. You're not being a bad father or over-controlling because, again, you have locks on your front door, back door, windows. Put locks on every electronic.
Yep. Okay, more for you when we come back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEWLIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope
help and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And Chris, did you want to finish up? And then Mylon, you got a comment or two here. And I tell you, every father who has a son, you've got to deal with this one way or the other.
Jim, I first want to say that I'm just incredibly encouraged by your call today. And the reason for this is that discovering your son in this way can be painful and hard for both, but in the end, it's a profound act of grace. Because being able to head this thing off early and provide your son with a solution is just fantastic. I love to hear that. And I love to hear your concern and your desire to find a solution as a dad. But did you hear what I said about finding the programming to block and to monitor illicit websites?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. And I just want you to know, because I think a lot of parents feel like their hesitancy may be that they're over-controlling or dominating or overbearing. And I'm like, that's not the case. This is a safety issue and a primary safety issue, and we'll keep our kids safe however we want to.
Okay. Mylon?
Jim, you said this shook me to the core. I'm just wondering if you have a history of pornography and that history is scaring you.
Yes, I do. And mine started around age 13.
Okay, so that I heard, and I'm glad that you validated that, only to say this then is a part of the fear and the trepidation that is a part of your approach. But you didn't have perhaps a dad that would come alongside of you the way you're going to come alongside your son. This is an excellent opportunity to my second point is what I told my kids. I have four kids that are now adults. And I said, I've been waiting for this day. See, instead of being frightened by it or astonished or surprised, I said, I've been waiting for this day when you would find sexual interest in something, because it's every man's battle. So I wondered when this was going to occur. And so I'm glad now we have the opportunity to talk about this. Oh, by the way, I've struggled with this too, and this is every man's battle. Let's go on a journey together. And I would tell him your story.
Yep. All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and I will send you Every Young Man's Battle, and I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you. Guys, I think we've got time for one more call. Let's try to get that
Absolutely. One
other call.
Let's go with Lisa in Garden Grove, California.
Lisa, how you doing?
I'm not doing so well.
Okay, what's going on? We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to try to get some help for you. Is there a question we could answer?
Okay, I have a 19-year-old daughter, and I've been out of work for a while because I have a heart problem, and my family my mom has been helping me financially, and I'm trying to find a job right now, and I'm finding it hard because of the fact that I haven't been employed for a while.
Okay. How could we help you with that?
I'm having people tell me that I maybe should go out of state, and my daughter doesn't want to go with me because her boyfriend family told them they would give him an apartment if he kept his job for a year. So I'm worried if I leave that she's going to end up going with him because I don't really want that to happen. And
okay.
I don't know if I should stay. I don't know the best route for me to take because I just don't want anything bad to happen to her.
Yeah. All right. We don't really know the full reality of the job situation there. But guys, what do you think? Should she move out of state at a critical time like this?
Well, I don't know how mature your 19-year-old is. I know 19-year-olds that are going on 12. And, you know, certainly stability to get my kid through adolescence and into adulthood is super important. And so my consideration is you would have to look. If she's she would certainly be tempted to want to move in with her boyfriend. And if I would say to stay home with her and to be by her side to get her through this season, if she'll listen to you, is really important.
And I would find new ways to look for a job locally. I would increase my ways of looking for jobs locally. I agree with Mylon. Chris, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I may be the younger guy here, but I kind of have an old school approach in that she's 19, and she does need to start taking responsibility mm-hmm. for her life. She sure. needs to start making decisions on her own. And that, Lisa, you need to look at ways in which you can be honest and that you can be very firm about what you believe and what you think for her. But also turning to, you know, looking at that kicking the bird out of the nest process in your own life. Because what you don't want to be is 10 years from now stuck tied to your daughter's poor decision making and your life not moving forward as well. So mm-hmm. I want to encourage you to use Steve's term, take your life back and make the best decisions for you. And obviously, as there's opportunity to appropriately mother her at 19 years old, please feel free to do that.
All right. I'm glad that you called. Take Your Life Back is coming your way. You know, one of the things that we talk about in Take Your Life Back is reaching this point of learned helplessness mm-hmm. where you think there aren't any options, and boy, we never, ever want to get to that place, get trapped there. Well, just a couple of things. I'm going to be in Philadelphia on the 27th, speaking Church of God, their regional conference there. I would love for you to come. And I'll be in Colorado Springs on September the 29th. It is a Family Life Today conference hosted at Focus on the Family. And it's all about step families. And if you're in the area, please come by. October 1st is our Life Recovery event. And Mylon's going to be in Moraga October the 7th, talking on how we love, and we love Mylon. I don't know how we love him, but we do love him and all that he's doing here. The Life Recovery Conference, by the way, it's for somebody who is interested in starting a life recovery group or simply just wants to know more about recovery. Both ways, it's going to be really great. If you can help us, do we ever need help? You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE, and say, I want to help you. I've been hearing you. You've been struggling. We'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. It's the new book. Dave Stoop and I are going to be speaking on that September the 15th. That's this weekend. That's tomorrow. They're in the Dallas area at the American Association of Christian Counselors, AACC. I call it the All Right Christian Counseling Organization. But let me tell you, we're here for transformation. And that happens when people pick up a copy of How We Love, or maybe they pick up a copy of Take Your Life Back, or Chris's book that he's writing that will come out in about 2 years. And the name of that, Chris, is
Prolific Love.
Okay, Prolific Love. People might read a book, they might come to a workshop, they might see a counselor. And the goal of every one of those is for transformation to occur. You're going one way, and we help you change the trajectory of your life. Oh, my goodness.
Steve, can I jump in with that really quickly?
Yeah,
speaking
please.
Of Dallas, I was with a team in Dallas with Every Man's Battle this last weekend.
Right.
And men who were suicidal, successful, loving men who were suicidal because of their sexual addiction or their compulsivity and despair, come to a conference, and in 2.5 days, they truly do get their life back. They get their marriages back. They get everything back.
If you want to be one of those men or someone else at one of our other conferences, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's the same number. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich. Thank you, Chris Williams. God bless you, too. And thanks to all of you who listen, pray for us, and support us. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.